One criticism of churches is that they don't talk about real life. I think that we try to do that here each and every week. So I want to do that and just jump into things. I believe that one of the jobs of a teaching pastor is to help people process very difficult and ethical dilemmas. And we're all thinking the exact same thing right now. Which is better, Star Wars or Star Trek? I believe the answer is easy. We all know that good Christians understand that Star Wars is far superior to Star Trek. Seriously, though, we do face issues much more challenging than that. And we all would do well to learn the discipline of thought management. This series is important because when the world says, whatever, what they mean is nothing really matters. But when a Christian says, whatever, it means everything matters. And it all comes under the lordship of Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever we say. But I want to suggest to you today, behind all of that is whatever we think. Now, this might be the most important sermon that I preach all year. It won't be the most watched on the internet. It won't probably be the most entertaining, but it has the most potential to help people break free from any of the patterns of darkness and bondage they're holding to in their life. Because I want to share with you and try to change your mind about the possibility that you can actually change your mind. And it's so important because thoughts have consequences. That is why we must think about whatever we think about. Because we've all been in this moment that was vulnerable. It was embarrassing because we weren't thinking about what we should have been thinking about. And that's why we had that fender bender. And that's why we forgot the appointment. That's why we made that awkward statement that we can't take back. Now, I don't watch award shows, but I did hear about the 2017 Academy Awards, where there was a major blunder. It was the peak of the evening when the best picture was announced, and they announced the wrong movie. The cast came up, they all began their acceptance speeches, and they had to interrupt them and say, we've made a mistake. And then a different group of people came up and gave their acceptance speeches. It was very embarrassing. The accounting company that handled that behind the scenes for 83 years had performed flawlessly. So how did this happen? Well, you see, the man who had all of the envelopes had just taken a picture on his cell phone of the actress Emma Stone, and then he was tweeting it out, and he got so distracted that he gave the wrong envelope to the host. Now, when life goes wrong like that, we tend to focus on behavior. Please hear this. People behave the way they do because they believe what they believe. That behind whatever we say and whatever we do is what we were thinking. And the Bible makes this point over and over and over again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 from the New Century Version. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And no one knew this more than Jesus. He had a very popular traveling sermon. It was one that he preached more than any other. He would show up in a new place and he would bring the good news. And he would say, repent. for the kingdom of heaven is near. The good news is that it is possible to live your life completely under the gracious reign of God. But to enter into this new life, you must repent. And when we hear that word, we almost always stop and think, well, you need to stop doing something. But the word repent in the Greek literally means change your mind. What Jesus would preach is that if you want to enter into this gracious new life that God is offering to you, you're going to have to start thinking differently than you have been thinking. Repenting is not so much stopping old behaviors as it is starting to think new thoughts. His best story emphasizes that. The young son that rebels from the father and he goes to the far off country in wild living and rebellious living. What starts his transformation is this very powerful little phrase that Jesus uses in that story. He says, when he came to his senses, before anything else could change, he had to have that moment of enlightenment and get his thinking straight. And the truth of the matter is, that's how anyone comes to God. That's where it all starts. Paul uses the exact same phrase in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth, because the truth sets you free. But look what he says in verse 26. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. How do you escape from the clutches of the devil? You've got to get your thinking straight, because it is the lies he has sown into your mind that are holding you in bondage. The bad news is that Satan can make us captive by his thoughts. The good news is that we can take his thoughts captive. We have the capacity as followers of Jesus to steward what we think. And I want to change your mind about the possibility that you can actually change your mind by asking you three questions this morning. Questions I believe you should ask every day. Here's the first one. Am I thinking like a new person? The gospel doesn't just redeem our past. It redeems our present. And that means we can have a different kind of future. And all of it starts in headquarters. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in the verse 17. Paul writes these words, "With the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness." Skip down a little bit. "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life." Did you notice Paul says that "no" comes before "throw"? Before you can throw off that old way of life that have been so destructive, you must know something. You need to learn something. Now, that explains why people can become Christians and it doesn't look like their lives have actually changed very much. The reason that many struggle with old behaviors after they are saved is because they still think like they did before they were saved. In other words, it is our old ways of thinking that are keeping us from the new ways of living that Jesus is trying to lead us to. One of the struggles that newly married couples run into is thinking they are not single anymore. Now, I'm not talking about sexual misconduct per se, although that is very important. I'm talking about working like you are single. Hanging out with your friends like you are single. Working terribly long evenings and days. You can't bring that kind of unhealthy pattern into a marriage because that means you're going to have a whole big bag of problems if you do. You cannot think like you thought before you got married once you are married. That's a problem. When your status changes, but your thinking doesn't. When you come to Jesus Christ, your status changes instantly. But it is a process of learning to live in this new reality. If you bring the way you thought into your new life, you will never experience the freedom that Jesus has actually offered and purchased for you. This process of rewiring, reprogramming our mind is really a gift of grace. It's not something that you do. It's something that you let God do for you. That's why the next verse in Ephesians 4 is so important. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, which is exactly what Paul said to the church in Rome, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you come to Christ, when you are baptized into Christ, immediately Satan will put a target on your back and he's going to come after you. That's why it is so important for new Christians to have another mature believer come alongside of them and walk with them to get started down this path of discipleship. It is critical that new Christians begin to think like Christians. Having a renewed mind is so very important. It's important to not look at things anymore the way that you did when your mind was in darkness. Instead of forming your opinions and making your decisions in darkness, you need to let the Holy Spirit enable you to think about whatever in light of the knowledge of the salvation Jesus has given to you. How can we know if this is happening? Well, the next question: are these thoughts bringing me freedom and peace? The mind is the key. The mind is the line of scrimmage. And every coach knows in football, whoever wins the line of scrimmage wins the game. And you need to know hell is willing to fight for your mind. Satan travels at the speed of thought. He is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. You go all the way back to the garden. What he loves to do is plant thoughts in our mind about God, about life, about truth that ultimately lead to bondage. And if you don't capture his thoughts, they will capture you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." But here is the problem. We have lived so long with old software. We learn to think in the ways of the world for so long that thoughts can enter into our minds that seem so rational, they seem so normal, that we don't stop to consider if they are actually consistent with the character of Christ. It was January 13th of this year, 2018, 8:30 in the morning, over 1 million residents of Hawaii got this emergency text. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And for the next 38 minutes, there was terror. There was panic. There was anxiety. There was fear. All because that message seemed so real. But it wasn't true. Has it ever crossed your mind that every thought that crosses your mind did not originate with you? That some of those thoughts need to be returned to sender because they aren't producing what Jesus looks like. Thoughts that are making you angry, bitter, worried, fearful, stressed. You think those are coming from heaven? You might be thinking, how can I protect my mind from unwanted thoughts? That's what I love about you, is that you always ask questions right before I'm about to answer them. There is a lot that we can say about this, but I'm just going to say one thing very quickly. One thing that you can do to guard your mind is this. Focus on the nearness and the goodness of God. And I got that straight out of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. One thing I choose to think about is the nearness of God. Christ is with me. Christ is coming soon. But look at the next verse, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. By the way, that word anxious there in that verse, that literally means divided mind in the Greek. When you are worried, you're not focusing on one thing, you're focusing on many things. And Paul says, don't do that. Focus your mind on God's nearness, on God's goodness. Take the things in your life to God. And do so with thanksgiving. Mentally recall all the ways that God has been good to me. Well, what happens when you do that? Next verse. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is a miracle. It's a supernatural thing. You can't explain it, but you cannot explain it away. Somehow your minds no longer wander down roads that produce bondage. I love how the message renders this verse, verse 7 in Philippians 4. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything comes together for good. And he'll come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I've noticed when I counsel people that there are those that come and they have a problem and there is nothing that I can tell them that will make their fear and their anxiety go away. But there are others that will come and they have the same kind of problem or maybe even a bigger problem and they're controlled by joy. And hope. And what I've learned early is that the problem is not typically the real problem. The real problem is the way that you think about the problem. The key to experiencing new life in Christ, whatever you are going through, depends on whatever is going through your mind. That's why we've got to think about what we think about. So let me ask one more question. Is this how Jesus would think? You see, we cannot follow the way of Jesus if we don't learn to follow his way of thinking. Remember those bracelets, WWJD? I loved those. But before WWJD comes WWJT. Before you know what Jesus would do, you have to discern what Jesus would think that would cause him to do that. The Bible calls this having the mind of Christ. Now, when I was young, I thought having the mind of Christ means that you put in your brain all kinds of Bible knowledge about Jesus. And that's a really good thing to do, but I've met people who know a whole lot of things about the Bible, but they don't live like Jesus did. To have the mind of Christ means I'm going to think about God, and I'm going to think about life, I'm going to think about my priorities, and I'm going to think about other people like Jesus would think. Here's where it gets tough. Because I have to ask myself the question, do I really want that? Do I really want whatever I think to be filtered through the mind of Christ Jesus? Is that what you would want? Or do you want instead for your thoughts to be shaped by your favorite news channel, or your political party, or your favorite entertainer, or your economic theory? Do you really want Jesus messing with what you think? Do we want him messing with what we think about politics, about finances, about sexuality, about entertainment choices? Or do we really prefer for our thoughts to be shaped somewhere else? To put it another way, do we want visitation or do we want habitation? What I mean by that is, suppose you invite somebody to your home for the evening and you take them to your guest bedroom and you tell them as you put them into the room, make yourself at home. You go away and you hear a loud noise coming from that area. You go down the hall, you peek into the room, and they're pulling up the carpet. They're removing the drywall. And they say, you know, I really don't like carpet. I love hardwood floors instead. And I prefer shiplath. I don't know what shiplath is. I just think it's fun to say. Shiplath. But I prefer shiplath on the walls instead of drywall. And you say, what are you doing? And they say, well, you said, make yourself at home. You see, you didn't mean that. What you meant was, come and stay for a little while, but keep things exactly as they are, and then go. And so I ask again, when we invite Jesus, do we want visitation or habitation? Do we want him to renew the place, or we just want him to show up for a little bit whenever I need some company? One thing is for sure, when Jesus makes his home in your mind, you begin to think differently. Your thoughts turn towards grace and goodness and kindness and mercy, and you begin to focus on your identity as the beloved son or daughter of God, not some slave trying to appease an angry master. I love how Peter puts this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, get your minds ready for action. Be self-disciplined. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, if your mind is not filled with the goodness and the grace of God, your thinking is crooked. But the good news is, we can straighten that out. You see, we can think about whatever we want to think about. Satan is a master of deceit, but he is not the master of your mind. I'm trying to change your mind about the possibility that you can change your mind. That in Christ Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take responsibility for our thoughts so that we can enjoy the life that we were set free to enjoy. I heard about a McDonald's franchise that had this problem. They had become a popular hangout at night for teenagers. And these teenagers were not coming in to patronize the store. They weren't buying food. They were just hanging out in the parking lot and engaging in behaviors that weren't helpful to this franchise. So they came up with a brilliant way to deal with the problem. They started playing over loudspeakers at the restaurant into the parking lot classical music and opera. And pretty soon, the teenagers left. What's on your playlist? What are you choosing for your mind to focus on and hear so that thoughts that do not make us look like Jesus aren't welcome? See, here is what Paul says. Diane read this at the very beginning of the service. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You can change your mind because you can choose your whatever. Dear friends, we have got to stop letting old, dark ways of thinking rob us from the new life that we can be enjoying. We can think our way into the freedom that Jesus has given to us. Think about His forgiveness. Whatever you have done. Think about His nearness. Whatever you are going through. Think about His promises, whatever lies ahead. Most of all, let His undeserved grace saturate whatever you think. Would you stand up? I want to pray with you. Father, what I am asking for now is a revelation, an illumination of the Holy Spirit. There could be deep in our minds a lie that has been there so long we don't even recognize it. And it's not bearing fruit. It's putting us in chains. Father, right now in the quiet of this next moment, would you please expose any lies that we have been thinking? Thank you, Father. Help us, God, this week to ask this question over and over and over again. Jesus, what would you think? In Jesus' name, amen.